Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
Hey, what's going on, Barroom? It's Cars here. This is going to be a special edition of Cars Keys website. As I said during the bye week, I was going to do two podcasts, and then unfortunately real life kicked in, and we've got some, let's just call them extracurricular activities going on that took a lot of my time away, so I apologize for that. What I want to do this week is take a little bit of a dive into the offense. You know, I know what we all are seeing. I know that there is a lot of hand-wringing over what we've seen with very good reason. But I also wanted to talk a bit about the numbers, because it's one thing to see without, you know, what we see, but let's look at the numbers behind it.
Cars Keys is hosted and written by Matthew Carstensen, and it is produced by Matt Carstensen and me, Aldo Gandia. It is intended for all audiences.
I have two big takeaways. So over the last basically 10 days, I've been watching the coach's film for every offensive snap. I'd like to give out a shout out to Tito's Vodka for making this a more simple task to do, as it got quite painful at multiple points in time. And what I've been doing is poring over the numbers as well, and looking at correlations and differences, right? And the whole idea for this is, when I kind of look at the NFL, there's an eye test and there's a numbers test, right? Oftentimes there's an immediate rush to go out and say, you know, my hot take, right? I got to go out and say, okay, I need, I saw this guy throw an interception. He's obviously the worst quarterback in the NFL. This guy, right? And then you look at the numbers, you're like, well, maybe that's his first interception in 300 pass attempts, right? There's obviously simpler correlations to that. But what I like to do is find out the things that put a little information around the struggle, right? And so what I'm coming back with is two things. I'll start off kind of with my least popular take, and I probably want to say this all before this gets on too far. If you are one of those Bears fans that sits down and says that Mitch is fine, that Mitch is going to be the answer, there isn't evidence to that point this year. Heck, last year there were a lot of struggles that pointed to the same thing. It doesn't mean, though, by saying that I or anyone else think that Mitch isn't going to be the long-term answer. It also doesn't mean that I want Chase Daniel to be my starting quarterback. Now, I got in a bit of a kerfuffle, I guess is a proper term, last week when I said that I thought it was good for the offense for Chase Daniel to be out there against Oakland, because Mitch wasn't seeing the field well. He wasn't pushing the ball downfield. Now, there were inconsistency in line plays, and I don't want to take away from that. There was some inconsistency in receiver play, but not as much as we are led to believe. There's some non-existent tight end play, that's for sure. But guess what? That's not just the tight end's fault. There are issues with the way that Mitch is seeing and driving the field and the ball right now. That's it. So if you're coming in here and saying anything that negative about Mitch means that I'm a Mitch hater, I always consider myself to be more of a realist, right? I call it the Jay Cutler effect. I was the first person, when we got Jay, that I know to go run out and get his jersey. I stood by and defended him even when the evidence mounted until I just had too much, and it made me kind of look at being a fan of certain players a different way. So again, when I say something bad about Mitch, this isn't a fire Mitch, we failed at drafting Mitch, or anything like that. I think it's safe to say, right, Pat Mahomes is definitely the gem of the class. I have my ups and downs with Deshaun Watson, who I think is a very good quarterback as well. But that doesn't mean that you can't win a Super Bowl with Mitch Trubisky. And so please view this in that lens, right? When I say a negative stat about Mitch, please don't run out and say he hates Mitch. Please don't think that last week I thought that Chase Daniel is the quarterback for the long term. There were plays that happened last week that I will call out and we'll go through, and I will fall on the sword for the two should have been three awful interceptions. But at the same time, there were positive offensive developments that happened. And I think the best thing for Mitch was, as a viewer of that offense, to actually see how someone else runs it right now. So that's first. And that was really long-winded. I apologize. I have been talking to customers all day, so I think I am just more of a windbag than anything right now. The second thing that I want to talk through, though, is that has become very obvious, and is that I love Matt Nagy as a leader. Things like, you know, pushing Rashad Coward up to starting guard over Ted Larson is a great move. But as a play caller, he has severely struggled right now. Severely struggled. The idea here is that we need to remember is even when he was offensive coordinator, he was not calling plays at Kansas City, right? And everybody talks about that playoff game. It was really kind of that back half of the season where he started to call plays. That's still, though, with Andy Reid's heavy hand leading over him, pointing him in the direction, reminding him of plays, right? Leading him to do that. There is some ego in the NFL amongst every positions, and I think Matt Nagy, to point, has struggled with this. It's why he's hired some voices. You know, the Mark Helfrich thing, I truly wonder how much say he has in this to date. You know, I thought Brad Childress was going to come in and have a steadying effect. That hasn't happened. So we are now in, if we count four games from the first season, 16 games in the season, we are now sitting at roughly 30 games of play calling from Matt. And that for sure needs to improve. And so as we dive into these numbers, just remember these two things. This is not meant as an attack on Mitch, but it's just to meant to have a real conversation around Mitch's struggles. And that second, more than anything, right, Matt Nagy needs to develop as a play caller. Now, again, I think some of what he ran in Oakland was a little bit better. He's a little bit more comfortable with what Chase knows in the offense, not necessarily what Chase can do, but what Chase knows in the offense than he is with Mitch. They're still trying to figure that out.
Cars Keys returns after this quick message.
Now, I talk to Shane quite a lot, and I vent quite a bit on that. The biggest takeaway from watching all these games is that Mitch doesn't still know what to do in this offense. Yeah. Normally, that's a point of concern, but remember, he's all those limitations. So view that and view these numbers through these lenses. With all that protecting myself from the rage of everyone that listens, let's kind of dive in. So there are two places that I really like to go for, well, three actually, for stats when I start to look at those numbers. Next Gen NFL Stats has some tremendous numbers, right? Pro Football Reference has some tremendous split information. And Warren Sharp's website, sharpfootballstats.com, has some really great numbers as well. So as I talk through these, and I'll try to reference them as much as I can, those are where these numbers are coming from. Now, most of these today are coming out of the Sharp Football Stats because I think they point to the issues with play calling. Second, when we talk about successful play, which is a Sharp number, that number means that on any given play, you've gone out and gotten 40% of the yards needed for the first down. So, right, think of it this way. I've got a first and 10. A successful play is a run or pass at 4 yards or more. What that's meant to do is take out some of the inflationary things, right? You know, we had a 3rd and 40. If I go ahead and throw a screen for 15 yards, that's not a successful play, right? I still have 25 more yards to go. It doesn't meet the requirement. What he's trying to do is put some context around these things. So the first stat that I think is the most wide open is in the NFL, our average quote-unquote yard to go is 9 yards to go per average on down. If I'm remembering correctly, that is 8th worst in the NFL, with teams like Cleveland and the Baker Mayfield experience and Jacksonville and Tennessee sitting at greater than 9 yards to go. That is obviously inflated from like a 3rd and 40 and other plays that are in there. But we've all seen a tremendous amount of 1st and long, 2nd and long, 3rd and long situations. So seeing that number right away kind of tells you where we're at.
The Bears are looking at a long way to go to get a first down. They need the 37-yard line of their own territory, trailing 7.
When we look at successful plays, right, in the run game, we're sitting at 49 successful rushes out of 118 total rushes, right? We all know rushing has been an issue. It's definitely coming from the interior. We want to run right. There's nothing going on right. That's a rate of 42%. That's 26th in the NFL.
He'll start out as a blocker, but behind the line of scrimmage, dumping Bradley Chubb is David Montgomery. Boy, he came in there and slammed down to the ground. No gain right back on the 25-yard line on the first rushing attempt of the game for the Bears.
Right, and that point of attack was over the offensive guard, so that means Chubb worked his way all the way to the inside and was able to hit the running back before he got through the line of scrimmage.
Those same issues where we have with predictability, right, that we had last year with Jordan Howard, those still seem to be carrying on as we talk about this. What's really fascinating about that number is if you take it a step further and look back at David Montgomery, of 132 total first down plays, we have rushed the ball 38 times with David Montgomery. So, you know, just at a rough and tumble percent, you're talking about greater than 25% of the time on first down when he is in there, we are actually going to head and run the ball to him. We're sitting at almost one third, you know, roughly 30%. 3 out of every 10 times we have a first down play, that ball is going to David Montgomery.
At the 30 from center, handing off Montgomery. A sharp cut to the outside, and boy, is he slammed down to the ground. 2 Broncos in the vicinity there, including Shelby Harris out of Illinois State.
What's even worse, if you look at our most frequent plays, and again, this is from Sharp Football Stats here, our most common look on a first and short and long at 8 to 10 yards is a rush to David Montgomery. If there's a penalty, right, and we're sitting somewhere between 4 and 7, guess what? We're running to David Montgomery. Our most common pass on those plays where it's like a 1st and 15, guess what it is? A pass to David Montgomery. Anybody notice a trend here? So much like last year when we would sit down in formations and we would look and see, oh, Jordan Howard is in the backfield. It's 1st and 2nd down. They're going to run with him. Well, sure as shit, we're doing the same thing. It carries over. Let's say we don't get any yards on first down. Guess what our most common 2nd and 8 to 10 yards is? You guessed it, a rush to David Montgomery. Actually, most of the 1st and 10 information, that is all David Montgomery-led statistics. Even though we are trotting out Tariq Cohen, who we seem to have exclusively made a slot receiver this season, we're still being so predictable in the run game. Now, obviously, that's something that isn't very good. What's worse about that is that that is also, though, in those predictable situations, the best we're getting out of David Montgomery.
One back, 3 receivers in a wing, snap, hand up, and Montgomery with a little green in front of him at the 30-yard line. First down to the 32. Nice run there. A double-digit run for David Montgomery, and the line cleared out some space.
If I were to tell you that on those first down plays, he is averaging roughly 3.6 yards per carry, and every other down and distance that he runs, he is sub 3 yards per carry. That's just pointing out to, you know, what we all know and we've all seen is just an awful, awful run experience. Is he missing cuts? Yes. But what do we see that's happened continually? He's making plays after contact. He's making something when there's nothing. This goes back to, in part, my defense of Mitch and even Chase the other week. When there is consistent pressure, when there is no ability to actually trust in your lineman to block the way that you are, your internal clock is going to speed up, right? So he is missing cutbacks because he's so used to being hit and tackled or, you know, trying to deal with penetration in the backfield, and he's doing this so frequently that he's missing things. 47 of his carries come on first and 10 plays, right? First and 10, second and 10, third and 10. The idea here is we saw those same numbers out of the Jordan Howard experience. This is the same thing. Montgomery is a better running back, but there's only so much you can do when a defense sits down and lines up. And what do we see, right? This is when we see 8 men in the box. This is when we see, you know, stack lines. This is when we see teams' main defense of us is just pure gap responsibilities. I'm going to put in 4 down linemen and 2 linebackers. Each one's responsible for a gap. Stop the run. Make them beat us deep. And that's what we're seeing. Where it gets really bad for us, right, is second down. So I'm going to tell you, the average yards per play on second down in 3 of our 4 games this year. Against Green Bay on second down, we on average gained 3.6 yards per play. Against Minnesota, we did 2.9. It was Denver, the good game, so 4 out of 5. Against Washington, it was 3.2. Against Oakland, it was 3.1. So if you think about this, right, if our average to go is 9 yards, we're getting roughly 30% of those yards back on second down. So as obvious as our first down play calling has been, it's our second down play calling and execution that has been problematic. You know, one of the things I always love for Warren Sharp is when he goes, you can't do old school football. What is old school football, right? First and 10, run. Second and 10, run. Third and 10, pass.
Third and 9, again, no huddle. That's what this has been.
Right. Very predictable in the way we do things. Well, guess what? For a lot of the ways, that is what we're doing. So we need to change up that play calling. We need to actually look at Tariq Cohen earlier. I would actually like to see some more Mike Davis in early downs, because it's not what people are expecting. You have to change it. If David Montgomery's in, they are keying to stop the run. That's it. If Tariq Cohen is in, guess what? They're going into a zone. They're dropping people back. They are not respecting the run. This is the same thing that happened last year, and it's continuing now. So, right, first down's bad. We're very predictable. Second down, we're just not executing. But there are other numbers. You know, Tariq Cohen has been quiet, and he obviously popped off a little bit on Twitter about his touches in Philly, and everybody gets on him for that. That there's some issues with Tariq. What if I told you that this year Tariq Cohen's catch percentage is 64.5%, a full 10% down from his career average? If you go back to that Minnesota game, Chase dropped a perfect pass for him down the sidelines and he dropped it.
Play fake, sets up the throw. Daniel looking, patient, throwing, works it down the left sideline, over the shoulder catch. Tariq Cohen is inside the Viking 15-yard line.
No catch, bobble.
Oh, jeez.
These are momentum killers, and that's going to be what I close with. But that's a letdown from me from Cohen. He hasn't gotten enough run opportunities, but he still has 35 pass targets to date, right? He is on pace for another 60-catch season. It is not that they're misusing him. It's just everybody's keyed on him. And when he has a chance right now to make a big play, he's not doing it. The other thing that I want to get into is the Mitch versus Chase discussion. So, and I'm only saying it's the Mitch and Chase because What's been very interesting this year, and I kind of said it several times on Twitter, and I'll reiterate it today. Of Mitch's 69 completions this season, 27 of those have come at the line of scrimmage or behind. Right? So screen passes, bubble screens, wide receivers, check downs, all of that stuff. Right? Almost a third of his pass plays have come at or behind the line of scrimmage. That doesn't bode well for the current NFL, right? Like, this is just, when you watch the big plays, what are you seeing? You're seeing Aaron Rodgers push the ball vertically, Watson, Mahomes push the ball vertically. Now, again, this is not absolving the line of some consistency issues, and that's where I'm going to tie everything all back together. But at the same point, right, his play where he got injured, Miller was deep, open. Burton was short, open. What does he do? He scrambles. He's not seeing the field. What's fascinating about this is actually if you look at his overall numbers, on first down, Mitch's average yards per attempt is 5.2 yards, right? If it's on second and 10, let's just say we had a bad rush or incomplete pass, we are sitting at, he's averaging 4.7 yards per attempt. These are pedestrian numbers at best. This is an offense that is struggling to find rhythm. These are him throwing these short curls and out routes and screen passes that aren't going anywhere. But what's even more telling for me is if you look at any distance that is like second and 7 and 9 to second and 4 and, between 4 and 6, and that carries over into his third down numbers. Mitch's yards per attempt number on second and less than 10 and third and less than 10 is either 2.5 yards per attempt or 2.8 yards per attempt.
Under center, quick fake, bootleg, too tall for Tariq Cohen. Got one hand on it, but incomplete.
Right, so what we saw out of Chase last week was we saw more deep throws, right? More big plays, more pushing the ball vertically. You know, his yards per attempt, sending it over 7, you know, he's throwing deeper passes, and we'll get into that in a second. We have not seen that to date. Anthony Miller made a brutal drop, but guess what? He went up and got a ball. Chase gave him an opportunity to make a play on the ball, and that's what we need to see Mitch to do. He's got a better arm than Chase. He needs to unleash that thing and start stretching defenses vertically. Everything is collapsed because if people have analysts and stats and they're looking at everything, they're like, look, Mitch is not throwing the ball in the air.
I think Mitch loves throwing those crossing routes, especially when the white jersey is about a full body ahead of the trailing maroon jersey. And it's just an easy target for Mitch. He gets it.
You know what the difference, the average depth of a pass completed by Mitch on the season is 4 yards. Now, it doesn't sound a lot to say that Chase is at 6.3, but that 2 yards per completion, right, over 20 different plays, you're talking about 40 yards. That's plays that builds momentum. These are what keeps drives going. All of this matters, right? And this is all going to have to tie into why we need to see Matt challenge Mitch to drive the ball. It goes counterintuitive to a lot of the ways we raise quarterbacks today, but I'm hoping that as Mitch sat on the sideline for 2 weeks, what he saw was someone that actually pushed the ball vertically more. I'm not going to lie, the best pass I've seen all season was that touchdown that Mitch threw to Taylor Gabriel.
Receiver snap back, Trubisky. Here comes late pressure, steps up against it. Now zings it down the right side, going for Turbo into the end zone.
That was an insane pass. That is one pass that shouldn't have been thrown as accurately as it was with the way he was moving and the way he had to contort his body. And big again, congratulations to Gabriel for such an amazing catch.
Trubisky to Turbo, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! Had a 27-0 lead over the Redskins. This one from 36 yards out.
He's got that arm, he's got that ability, but he's all in his head. He's not seeing the field, and that needs to go away. Now, what I want to tie this all back to is the offensive line. the problem has been for us all season is momentum killing penalties, right? Leno has had a lot of them, but there's been some Masseys, a couple of Kyle Longs, no real white hair, or every now and then a small amount for James Daniels, I think one or two on the season. But what you continually see is pushing past the 50-yard line and then a holding penalty, a false start, two or three penalties in a row.
Offensive line coach Harry Hiestand was really giving it to his guys while the Bears' defense was out.
There's hard to build consistency in play calling when you're trying to play with tempo, when you're trying to play with speed, and you keep getting penalties. Now, you're doing this while you're having Mitch make reads at the line. He's actually getting a little confused on some of the coverages and things, but there's not a whole lot of faith in the line up in front of him. So moving forward, you know, obviously that's going to be a big point of contention for this week. It's really weird to have to say that I think Coward will provide some stability at guard over Long for the remainder of the season. It breaks my heart to see a warrior like Kyle actually not be able to finish the season and not be actually able to perform at a high level when we're finally good. But Charles Leno's really got to look in the mirror and fix that. You know, I will be honest, in the beginning portion, right, Whitehair and Daniels didn't look the greatest, but they've come together. That is by far the strength of our line. Bobby Massey started strong. He's fallen off to me the last couple of weeks. You don't know how much of that is some uncertainty at the right guard position, but that's got to get fixed. Everything starts up front. If there is a key to this season, it is not Anthony Miller. It is not Trey Burton. It's not Adam Shaheen. It's not David Montgomery. It is the offensive line and Mitch. And now that we've seen this, right, and Mitch is seeing that we've got what the difference the offense can look like, and it's still stalled. Please don't get me wrong. The offense still had penalties. It still stalled out. It still left points on the board. But it also started to actually make some drives and put some longer plays together, some deeper plays, started to challenge some defenses.
Snap back, Daniel, on the NFL logo. Dancing around but staying in there. Floats it down the right sideline. The pass caught! Inside the 15. Wow, Anthony Miller with a grab.
Chase did that against an Oakland defense that normally didn't have a pass rush that actually generated consistent pass rush. He was constantly under pressure. These things can happen. It's just now up into the execution. So that's it, right? I think we've kind of run the gamut, but first down play calling has got to get better. Second down play calling, more importantly, execution, has to improve. And Mitch has to start to drive the ball deeper down the field. If we start to do these things, I think this will make the biggest difference on offense. Hopefully we see that this week against the Saints, but the Saints defense, especially in the secondary, is extremely good. I'll talk more about that on the actual Cars Keys website for this week, Cars Keys podcast for this week, as I'm finishing up writing that right now. But anyway, that's my rant for this week on the offense and its struggles. We'll talk again soon.
Our thanks to WBBM Radio for the highlights, and make sure you follow Matt Cars on Twitter. That's @CarsKeys1.